morning. Another welcome. Turn to hymn number 108. Child of the King. My Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full.
Thank you.
113, a shelter in the time of storm. Glad for Bill sitting up here filling in. Our organist is gone today, and I found out he's going to sing a special. I said, Bill, let's do the whole thing. So here he sits. The Lord's our rock, and here we hide, sheltering the time.
Well, I'd like to tell you a story before I sing this first song. Back about September of 1973, my wife got up one morning to go to church, and she asked me to go with her. I wasn't doing anything, so I said, yeah, I'll go. When we went there, I met three people, or a number of people there, but One was an old Assembly of God preacher that told me about digging a foxhole during World War II in a place called, in Italy, in a place called Anzio. He became my friend for about the biggest part of 20 years. There was another couple there that stood up and sang a song. And he was white. She was full-blooded Mono Indian. And they became a part of my life for a while. And then I met somebody else. The Bible tells me that he sticks closer than a brother, calling Jesus. And he doesn't have to prove that to me anymore because he already has. He sticks closer than a brother. And this song I want to sing is a song that they sang that morning. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's seas. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now, gonna safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And I thank God for a lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around us says, tear the old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no need it standing round. But my mind goes back to a stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse. It stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? And I thank God for that lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is that lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, and He has shone a light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for that lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Tempted and tried, we're off made to wonder what it would be thus all the day long. And while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. So cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it, oh, by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when we meet him in his home in the sky, then we will see him in that bright mansion, and we'll understand it, oh, by and by. So farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, gonna live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it, oh, by and by. And we'll understand it, oh, by and by.
Lead us in that chorus, Bill. Lead us in the chorus again. Stand, will you? I'll come on.
Farther along we'll understand why. So cheer up, my brother, gonna live in the sunshine, and we'll understand.
Thank you, Mel. standing. Turn to hymn number 241. Oh, say, but I'm glad. While you're turning, I'm glad for all the visitors. Always glad for visitors, but today I think about half our crowd is gone, and you're feeling just real well. Kind of looks like a Sam's convention or something to me, but fits in real good. We appreciate your presence, each visitor, whether you're with Sam's or Walmart or some other reputable outfit. Come again, won't you? There is a song in my heart today, something I never heard. Number 241. It's taken my sins away. Oh, say that I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Chuckled, and that's just fine. Number 315. I'm switching horses here. There's power in the blood. We seem to enjoy that so much. We'll sing a verse or two in the chorus. If you haven't already figured it out, you'll figure out that we love to sing here and do quite a little of it. Enjoy the presence of the Lord as we sing the old hymns. And there's power in the blood. If it's too high, we'll have to change. We've done that before, too. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. I suppose I should make some big, long, illustrious introduction, but here's Rich.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Good to sing praises to the Lord, and I just trust that that's what you came to do, that you come to worship the Lord and to worship the Lord with us this morning. I want you to know what an honor it is always for me to be able to share with you and to share the Word of God. Our pastor is on vacation, and we just ask that you would continue to pray for him and his family, that they would be able to just be able to get away a while and be refreshed and enjoy their time off together, and God would bring them back safely and refreshed and able to minister to us. So we thank God for that. You know, their modern day world of technology, I was wondering if you have you ever called these places and you need some information and you get their everybody has a voicemail down here. You don't get to talk to anybody anymore, do you? It's a voicemail, you know. And my son is that way. Every time I call my son, I get his voicemail. But I leave a little message on it. He knows he better get back right away. This is Dad calling, right? What have you ever wondered what it'd be like if God had a voicemail? Well, I have a little story here. If God had a voicemail, and this is the way it went. Thank you for calling my father's house. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for request. Press 2 for thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints. And press 4 for all other inquiries. And then there's a recording that says, I'm sorry, all of our angels are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and we will answer it in an order that it was received. So please stay on the line. If you would like to speak to God, press 1. For Jesus, press 2. For the Holy Spirit, press 3. And if you would like to hear King David sing a song while you're waiting or holding, please press 4. To find out if a loved one has been assigned to heaven, press 5. And enter his or her social security number, then press the pound key. If you get a negative response, try area code 666. And for reservation at my father's house, please enter J-O-H-N followed by 316. For answering to nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of the earth, and where Noah's Ark is, please wait until you arrive here. Our computer shows that you have already prayed once today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow. The office is closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. Please pray again Monday after 9:30 a.m. And if you need emergency assistance when this office is closed, please contact your local pastor. That's God's voicemail. Aren't you glad that God never changes? The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what he says? We can come boldly into his throne. And I'm so thankful for that today. I'd like for you, if you would you turn to Romans chapter 1? Today we are celebrating getting ready to go into the Easter season. This is Palm Sunday. And as you know, as you read the story of Palm Sunday, of how Jesus was coming in, and remember he had sent his disciples ahead and they had got a cold for him, and he come riding into Jerusalem, and there was a crowd, large crowd, and people were shouting, and they were throwing palm branches and laying their coats from him, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you see what they were looking for? They were looking for a Savior. They were looking for a Savior that would save them from the oppression they were in, and they thought Jesus was going to set up a earthly kingdom and restore Israel and come in by force and restore everything. But see, as they were coming in, Jesus knew in the back of his mind, he knew that this wasn't taking place. Jesus knew that he was going to his death, that he was going to be crucified. But as we see the crowd, as they are they're yelling and they're really, everything is going really well. They see it as something that's going to deliver them. But yet, in a few short days, this same crowd, they were going to be let down, weren't they? And they were going to see that Jesus wasn't the Savior that they were looking for. See, they were looking for a different type of Savior. And they would be in a crowd and they would be very angry. Instead of saying, Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they'd be shaking their fists at him. and gritting her teeth, and they would be yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And you know, as I thought about that story this week, I thought about our country that which we live in. You know, back then they were flying pretty high in those days. You know, our country today, we're flying pretty high. I heard on the a fellow say on the radio this week that in America, in our world in which we live today, that we are the most prosperous nation in the history of mankind. The prosperous times that we live in, we're in more prosperity right now than ever before in the history of mankind. That's how prosperous we are. We live in a prosperous nation. And I want you to know that I am for prosperity. I like prosperity. I like to see people get ahead. I like to see people be able to have means of supporting their family and providing for their families. And I like to see people be able to save for the future, retirement plans. You know, we have retirements, 401ks, profit sharings, you name it, we have it. And I'm all for that. But in the midst of all of this prosperity, there's something that's very disturbing to me. And I want to share that with you today. There's something that's very disturbing. And I think you all recognize that. That in America, you talk to, I'm a people person. I love to talk to people. And I am amazed at some of the answers I get from some people. And you begin talking to them about our country, the first thing that comes up is, you know what? Our economy. You know what? Our economy is good. Our economy is busting at the seams, isn't it? It's great. And whatever you do right now in America, you can do just about anything you want to, but just don't mess with that economy. Because if the economy is good, everything else is honky-dory. But in the midst of all the prosperity and everything that we see of going on today, I see a spiritual and a moral decay that's going on behind the scenes in our country. It's very disturbing to me. And as I was seeking the Lord about what I should share today, I want you to know that I started preparing a couple of weeks ago. It was before Friday. It was before the stock market on Friday. So keep that in mind, all right? I don't know why God done that. He was supposed to do it the week after I preached, not the Friday before. We live in a great country, and very proud of America. I am proud of the prosperity. I believe that America is prospered because of the blessing of God. Do you believe that? I believe that is the very reason we're seeing prosperity, is because God has blessed America. It's not because of any man. And I don't care how many people try to, when things are going good, everybody wants the credit for it. But boy, when it goes bad, I saw him try to interview our president there. He didn't have too many words to say. He just said the economy is okay. The markets can fluctuate and go up and down, but the economy is okay. But God has blessed America because he has chosen to do so. But in Romans chapter 1, I'd like to begin in verse 18. It says, the wrath of God has been poured out from heaven against all godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And then verse 21, it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like men, mortal men, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worship and they serve the created thing rather than the Creator. The economy is good. Who is forever praised? Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to a shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And in the same way, the men who abandoned natural relationship with women and were inflamed with lust for one another, men committing indecent acts with other men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their sins. Furthermore, since they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envious, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanders, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are seamless. They are faithless. They are heartless. They are ruthless. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. And Father, we just ask today that you would add your blessing to your word, that you would do what no man could do, that you would penetrate our hearts with the truth of your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I think of America today, I think of a church that our Lord talked about in Revelation as he instructed John the Revelator to write to the church in Laodicea. Church in Laodicea, he says, you know, you are rich. You are rich, you are in need of nothing. But God said to the church, but I say that you do not realize it, but you are poor, you are wretched, you are pitiful, you are poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. You see, the church in Laodicea, they were self-sufficient. They were prosperous. They were worldly. And the church at Laodicea had excluded the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Romans, it talks about men who do not think it's worthwhile to obtain the knowledge of God. And it says that they become wise in their own understandings. And Jesus actually called them a fool. I heard last week a statement that the atheists were up in the air. I mean, you have to feel sorry for these people. You know, they're just up in the air. These Christians and Jews, you know what? They have their holidays. Christians have their holidays. Jewish have their holidays. And what they are being discriminated against now because they don't have a holiday. Really? Yeah, they're in a tizzy over this. And I heard the announcer on the radio says, I've got a great idea and I've got a great day for you. It's April 1st. Because it says, only a fool in his heart says there is no God. But can you believe the stuff that's going on? And the Bible says that we are without excuse. These men are without excuse. You say, well, how can they be without excuse? It says that, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare his glory. The work of his hands. How every place you look, if you look at creation, and you look at our world, you look at the order, it all points to a creator. The perfect order, the way everything operates, it points to a master designer. So therefore, we have to come to the conclusion that people, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they picked their little pea brains and they tried to explain to you and I of how this world come into existence and where we came from. And they begin in the schools by telling us that we come from apes and monkeys. Did you know that? Now, I get a little crazy once in a while. I get a little wild. I remember we used to swing out on ropes over trees and drop out in the water. Had a lot of fun. May look like monkeys at the time, but I'm here to tell you this morning that I didn't come from no monkey. And I didn't come from no ape. I believe what God said about creation, that he created man and he created it in his own image in the likeness of God. And it's amazing to me of how they go through all of this stuff. But it begins right here in Romans where it says that they fail to acknowledge God. And I want us to be very careful in our lives today where we fail to acknowledge God as creator and sustainer of the universe. And he is the creator and sustainer of life. We see a lot of opposition coming. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I want to clue you in that right now what's taking place in our nation, we're in a war. We are in a battle. And it's wickedness and evil against righteousness. And you know what? The Bible says that in God's people, that we are the righteous people of God. And I believe today that we need to take a stand. And we're going to stand up. When people leave the Word of God and they start bringing in all this garbage, it's time for us to stand up and say something. God's Word is true. And you know what? God has not changed His mind about sin. It's still the same. That's why the Bible tells us to hate evil and to love righteousness. That's what God does. That's His very nature. And yes, God loves sinners. You know, today we hear all this complaint about this and that, and we are these narrow-minded Christians, and we don't understand, and we need compassion, and we need to show them love. You know, they're absolutely right. God loved them. God loves them. God loves people that are in sin, that walk away from Him. He loves them so much that He sent His Son to die for them, regardless of which road you go down. But let me tell you what my Bible says. He hates what they're doing. And that's where the difference is. And when there is a standard, when there, do you know there's a flood of filth that's flooding our nation? And it just tears. It comes in to tear families apart. It comes in to tear husbands and wives apart. It comes in to rip our very children out of our homes. That's what's going on. And it's because men have become so wise and have so much knowledge in their own thinking that there's no need of God anymore. Can't pray in the schools anymore. We got to get him on. You can't mention this. We have to be politically correct. You know what really bothers me? Is now it's beginning to creep into the churches. We don't have to be politically correct in the churches. We have to be biblically correct. What God's Word says. And if we stand up on that, we can take a stand. You know, when filth comes in, when all of this sin and all of these different styles come in, when it comes, it has a free reign if it has no resistance. And I believe God has placed us here. We're here for a reason. We're to stand up and resist it. Believe God's word. Stand on it. It's true. And you notice in Romans, as although they claim to be wise, they become fools. They exchange the glory of God for immortal images and stuff. Did you know that Dow Jones, NASDAQ, and you know all this system we have? Do you know, I believe that's about our number one God in America today. Just don't mess with the economy. Don't mess with my retirement. And long as I'm making money, all this stuff doesn't really matter, right? The moral qualities of a man, it doesn't matter what we do as long as the economy is good. That's a bunch of hogwash. Because what's going to bring us down is this moral filth that we allow to come in and begin to undermine. Did you know in our schools now that you know what they want to do? They want to capture the minds of our children. They're after that generation. They're after the younger generation. They go after them. They tell them all of these lies. You need to be this here. And if a person, you know, you have to be kind. You have to be gentle. If a person like this here, if they are a homosexual or a lesbian, what you got to say, they have an alternative lifestyle and you need to be kind and gentle to them and appease them because they might go home and get a gun and come back and shoot everybody in the school. So we have to tolerate this stuff. Starts with the minds of our children. You know what that is? That is a lie from the pit of hell. God's word says it's an abomination. And we don't have to be ashamed. We can take a stand on it. A righteous stand. Because they're our children. And let's not let them rob them and steal them away and begin to pollute their minds. I give a lot of credit to the young people nowadays. I take my hat off to you a lot. Did you know, I heard on the radio these, do you realize what these kids did? Maybe you heard of it. Some in school, they went to a ball game. And there was a bunch of their friends and they were sitting together. You know how these children get, you know, when they get in a group and getting together up in the stands. You know what I mean? And one of them boldly got up and he says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do here, I got some of my friends, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the game. We're going to pray for our players. We're going to pray that God with blessing would be on it. And he would just protect our players. And he said, if you'd like to join us, would you just join us in prayer? And they prayed right there in the stands. Do you know the school board got bombarded? These older, wiser, more, you know, sophisticated people that are wise in their own understanding said, what in the world is going on? You better get these kids under control. They're up there just stands praying. And boldly to stand up and ask us to pray with them. Hey, they're violating my rights. I don't want any of that part. Isn't that amazing? I think it's great. You know what? It reminds me of Jesus. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he stirred them up, didn't he? He didn't care about their rules, their regulations. You know what? He cared about doing the Father's will. And I believe that in our day in society, that we need to get our priorities straight. We really do. I want to tell you that your priorities and can be misplaced. You can get your faith in that retirement plan. You can get your faith in that 401k. You can get your faith in the stock market. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And when it gets out of perspective, you know, what's going to happen? Did you see some of the papers? Did you see some of the sad faces from the stock market? You know, it's been jumping around. They've got to be nervous. Nervous, sitting there, well, I lost this much and this much. But you know, if it's all taken tomorrow, I don't want to lose my money. Believe me, I don't want to lose my money. I work hard for it. I put it in a 401k. I appreciate my retirement benefits. I don't want to lose them. But I want to tell you, that's not where my priority is. My priority is in my relationship with God. My priority is in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And my Bible says if you get that right, if you seek Him first, then everything else will be added unto you. It'll all come into play. But when we get it out of perspective, that's where the trouble comes. So I'm asking you today to examine your hearts. You know, it's so easy here. It talks about in Romans of how they didn't think it was worthwhile anymore to retain the knowledge of God, even though creation and everything pointed to Him. And you know, we all know, we've all heard, but yet it's so easy to walk away from the Lord. It's so easy to we get so busy in this society, in this world we're in. You know, I fight it all the time. I'm pulled here, I'm pulled there. But somehow or another, we got to make it our priority that we're going to serve God. I think our families are going to be ripped apart if we don't, because of the filth and the garbage that's coming. Don't think we're going to be an innocent bystander, because it's going to affect us all. I'm reminded of here it talks about this sexual immorality of a declining of it. And you know what? The Bible speaks of that of being the last stages of a moral decline, of a moral destruction. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? When Abraham went down to get his nephew Lot, and he went and he was begging, he was pleading God for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he went in and God sent in two angels. Remember He sent two angels to Lot, and they came into his house, and what happened? The men came from the town, the old and the young, and they surrounded the house, and they were yelling and screaming, "Hey, Lot, send those guys out here. Send those guys out here. We want to have relationships with them." That is a corrupt society. What about our society we live? Do you see it coming? I mean, every time you turn on the radio, TV, they're battling about this. Men in our country nowadays, you know what? They want to get married to one another. If they want to do it, let them have it. But God says that He's going to give them over. He will give them over to a deprived mind. What does that mean? They begin to justify in their minds that what they're doing is right. That's exactly what happens. So when they tell you they believe it's true, they do. Because after a while, God gives them over to that. You want it? Have at it. Here it is. And it's a part of His judgment that comes out on the nation because of their activity. You know, when God told the children of Israel, remember everywhere they went, Israel was to be different, right? He says, "You are My people." The nation Israel was to be different. Do not go into their lands. Do not adopt their practices. Do not get into their religions, because they do not worship Me. But you're different, because I am your God and you are My people. What did He say? Be separate. Why? Why did God want them to be separate? Because they were His people and they were different. Today, I believe the church, the people of God, are to be different. We are still to be separated. God says, "You come out from among them. Be separate," says the Lord, "because you are different." Why are you different? Because you belong to Me. I am your God, and you are My people. And when you take this stand and you begin to live by My standards, you will be different, and you will convict the world of its sin, and they will know, and they will see. Do you see what a tall order we have? See, it all begins by just our minds of saying that we're wise in our own understandings, that we know that we no longer need God. I'm telling you today that America needs God. We need it in our hearts. We need it in our lives. We need it in our families. And would you, every time I look out at these young people, I see those faces, they just light up. You're the next generation. You're going to be the next leaders in this world in which we live. I was just thinking this morning, you know what we labeled them? You know what the world's labeled? Generation X. They're just going to X them right out. They don't fit. They don't belong. You know what? Isn't that just like God? He loves it when you X people out, because he's going to take Generation X and he's going to turn the world upside down. These young people are bold. They'll take a stand for what they believe is right, and they'll stand up. You see it every day. And I want to encourage you, change your world. You can change it. You can make a difference. We see through all out Scripture, when someone stands up for righteousness and they take a stand and they stand on God's word, God works. You're not alone. You go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe for every man and woman here, every husband and wife, every mother and father, every grandparent, stand up for what's right. Take a stand. There's a floodgate, there's filth coming along, but let's stand in its way. God says, I'm going to have a remnant. I'm going to raise up a standard against this and allow him to come in and to help us boldly stand against what's going on in our country. Pray for the economy. But pray that hearts would be turned back to God. And if you know what the quickest way to get your attention is? I have found in my life that the quickest way to get my attention is mess with my finances. It'll get your attention real quick, won't it? When you get into a hole and all of a sudden there are more bills than there's money, when there's more month for the money, it's a good way to get your attention. Let me tell you what, God will get your attention. I'll guarantee it. And if he has to start taking and kicking things out and taking things declining, he will get your attention. Why? Because he loves you. And he sees this moral decay and this moral corruption that's going on in our country, in our world. And I want to encourage you, take a stand against it. Stand up. Get your priorities right. Would you? God, would you come in? Would you have first place in my life? God, you're a priority in my life. And I'm just so happy to have my family here. I got all my family together. We can feel like a holiday. Just praise the Lord when all of your kids come home, you know. And the one thing they'll tell you, ever since they were knee-high to a jackrabbit, we've been at church on Sunday. It's a priority, isn't it? I'll get the whipping stick out, but we're going to church on Sunday. Can you make that a priority in your life? Listen, we're going to serve God. We're going to be in his house. We're going to serve God. We're going to be with God's people. We're going to go in God's blessings. It works. It's the only thing that works. Because wait till Monday morning when that market opens up. I wonder what a lot of people are going to be doing on Monday morning. And to me, it's just the start of it. Did you know there was a people on Palm Sunday? They were yelling, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were just shouting. But a few days later, they were gritting their teeth and they were shaking their fists and they were saying, crucify him. And I wonder how many people that would maybe just be in church today who are just appeasing their conscience. They're just there, but their minds are elsewhere. I wonder when things are going good. I wonder when things really come unraveled in their life. Will they be shaking their fists? Or will they be cringing? Will they be cussing God? Will they be blaming God? I wonder about that. See, God loves you so much that he will never allow you to become self-sufficient. We need God in our lives. Our country needs God. That's why we're blessed. Let's go with him and let's go his way. Let's do it his way, shall we? Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me as we pray? And Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And Father, I thank you for this time that we can be in your house. Father, I thank you for your people today. Father, I thank you for our country in which we live. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, you have blessed our nation. And I just pray, Father, that right now as we stand, that your Holy Spirit would just shine a light on our lives. Would you just help us, Father, to see where our priorities are? Help us to see where we spend most of our time. Help us, Father, to see where our minds are. What are we thinking about? Lord, are we thinking about things that you're concerned about? Are we thinking about your kingdom? Or are we thinking about our retirement? Thank you, Father, that you love each one. Father, I just pray this morning that by the power of your Spirit, that you would just give us a little nudge. You would tug us back to you. And Lord, that we could serve you with a whole heart. That we could make a new dedication. And we could stand up and say, as Joshua did, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. All around us, people can do whatever. But we, this day, have chosen to follow Jesus. We want to follow him. And we just thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Pastor Craig. Would you come?
Thank you, Rich. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's just pray a prayer of dismissal this morning, and I just pray that God has laid something on your heart. And take it home with you and ponder it. Do not set it on the shelf and let it get dusty. But think about it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the service that you have allowed us to come, and we thank you for speaking to our hearts. We ask, God, that we would seek you first in the things that you desire. Lord, we know, because you have promised, that everything else would fall into place. Be with us this day and help us to come back tonight safely. And we just pray that you'd be with us this week. And just thank you for blessing this nation and for us personally. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.